It's Black Friends Dinner, y'all. It's me, Nandi K, your resident Black non-binary bae. And we're back with another episode of Black Friends Dinner, where we come to navigate what all Black Lives Matter mean in a world where they don't over food and drink. You know, made by me with love. I'm really excited about my guest today. Man,
yeah.
It was a great way to start the new year. It's January 8th today. But
time's already flying.
Right? Time is flying. We're a week into the new year. So first, y'all, I miss y'all.
Look, it's been a while. I miss you too.
Lisa, aka Afronautic, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, self photographer and content creator. She travels, blogs, and creates content for small brands centered around queer people of color. Also, yes. Currently pursuing a graduate degree.
I know.
That's crazy.
Thank you for coming. Happy New Year,
thanks
boo.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
And also, all the way from New Jersey, Joe is the name. Black Boy Excellence is the game. Joe is a mask-identified non-binary boy that's passionate about creativity, food, and bringing their queer bros together throughout the diaspora. Joe's a DJ, an amazing cook, loves to dance, and makes music in order to free themselves. In the midst of navigating this planet, Joe's created a virtual safe space called Black Boy Complex. This is a platform honoring, highlighting, and empowering Black, queer, trans, lesbian, gay, you know, the library.
The whole spectrum.
The whole spectrum, masculine identified people. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
How's it going, y'all? How's the new year been so far?
Good.
Good, yeah. Real low. I want to say low key, but I actually had like 3 events in 1 week. So
yeah,
was your hair cut the last time I saw you? It looks so good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
It really looks good on you.
What did y'all do for New Year's?
I did some laid back family stuff.
Oh,
nothing
nice.
Too crazy.
I did Kwanzaa. I have a Kwanzaa celebration every first. That's like an annual thing now. So yeah, just invited people over. We cooked for them and like went through the principles. Real good.
Nice. Oh yeah, great. So obviously everyone is here for the food. This show is all about soul food. Whenever we actually eat every time, y'all, for real. Like there's always some food. There's always some drink. Maybe some other things if we're feeling saucy. But today we got a vegetarian at the table.
Yeah, it's lit. Yeah.
So, Elle, how long have you been vegetarian?
About 12 years, going on 12 years.
But yeah. You, like, never really liked meat, right?
Right. I mean, there was a point when I actually liked it. But, I would eat it, and then I'd start feeling this sick afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it's like I would enjoy it. Like, even now, I can talk about how good meat was. Mm-hmm. But then there was also that sickness that followed, like, almost immediately after. And I'd be like, nah. Yeah. Right.
So today I got a crock pot for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
I made a crock pot. So today I did a veggie pot pie and the crock pot.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it's gonna be very good. It's winter, so I love making like just stewy kind of one pot kind of situation. So
I haven't had a home cooked situation in a long time. I'm not gonna stunt.
Woof! Like, yeah. You need more of that in your life.
You have to go far now.
Listen, don't tempt me because I'll drive out to Jersey.
So. I love soul food. I'm Southern, so, you know, I'm hard up on soul food. I eat chitlins, and I have no shame.
Shameful right. about it.
So that's soul food to me, but what's soul food to you? Who makes it? What's your favorite dish?
You going?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, soul food, I would say that I'm from the South as well. I grew up in Atlanta for half of my life. Yeah. And so soul food is like really important to me. It's really for a while. It's all that I knew. And to me, soul food is Southern home cooking, like, you know, usually made by somebody, a matriarch or patriarch in your family. Mm-hmm. Usually cooked on Sunday and really full of like good comfort food. Like, you know, if you vegetarian soul food is new to me, but you know, shit, throw some damn G in it, let's get it. You know, however you want to make it rich and hearty, and
yeah,
it needs to be able to put you to sleep.
Yeah. What's your favorite dish?
Damn, I say my favorite dish is catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, cornbread, fried green tomatoes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, that's a dish.
That is a dish.
Yeah, man.
All right, Elle.
For me, you know what it is? Since I don't really eat meat anymore, soul food to me is more about the experience of people gathering. So it's like, it's been less about the food and more of like just being with family and friends and close people. But when I think of like some real hearty food, I would go for like the mac and cheese and the candied yams with like some homemade cranberry sauce and like collard greens without the meat in it.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me is a solid plate.
That's but a I've very been, solid
I've been trying
plate.
To get some banana pudding.
Yo,
like some real good banana pudding. And I feel like I can't like
up
get
here
it.
In this part of the country is just
they don't get
sparse.
It.
They yeah.
Just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know what it is they that makes it different. They just.
They use actual pudding
instead
of the custard.
That's
a difference.
See, I need somebody to hook it up. Somebody from the South to just put their foot in it.
My aunt lives in Jersey. I have them make a thing.
All right,
say there's a lot of Southern people
listen,
in New York.
Don't tell me. I will come.
They're
all right,
out here.
Cool. We looking. All right.
Today in white history.
Oh, no.
Boo.
Right.
There's a few things I want to address. First, this McDonald's worker who handled her business.
Beat the brakes off that boy.
She whopped up on that white nigga. Yeah.
And isn't she suing now, right? She's like...
She better be. She has a lawyer.
Yeah, she has a lawyer. Apparently, she was placed on like some kind of suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure what kind. But just in case you haven't seen the video, Yasmin James, who was working at McDonald's, got in an argument with a customer, apparently over a straw.
Right.
She, this is recorded. It's on camera. So you see this man snatch Miss James across the counter. And that's when she proceeds to wop, wop, wop.
Beat that ass.
That ass.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So, seeing this on the internet, I was like, she handled her business. That was dope. Like, she really did that.
Yep.
And then I just saw all these angry people who were like, no one protects black women because they didn't jump in. Or, I don't know if it's because they didn't jump in. Is it because they think she shouldn't have had to fight at all?
Well, in looking at the video, first off, if you live in Florida, you should already know about the straw law. Like, there are no straws. You should know that.
Wait, that's a real thing?
Yeah, they're banning straws because straws were getting stuck in tortoises' nose.
Yeah,
and
straws are very dangerous
very
in Florida.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Right.
They kill things.
I mean, there should be... Anyway, that's another story. But but then after, you know, when you see... She is short. She's small.
Yeah.
She's quite petite. And when you see this grown ass look like he could be at least three times her age, right? Grab her like that and technically lift her up off of her feet.
Yeah.
And you see three people behind her just kind of standing around.
Not doing nothing.
Yeah. That is alarming.
Yeah.
I would say, I would want for my coworkers to protect me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that shouldn't be a problem for my coworkers to protect.
Especially if there's management.
De-escalate the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, no one was... It took until, I would say, deep into the confrontation for someone to come around on the other side of the counter and pull him away
on
from
the
her.
Side of the customer.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. You know, so... And as an ex-McDonald's worker... I used to work at a McDonald's in Newark. We wasn't doing that. We wasn't going for that.
Right.
But, you know... The thing is to try to de-escalate, and no one was doing
not even the management.
Not even management.
Who should be trained to do that.
Mm.
So like, I could understand coworkers not necessarily being trained. All
right,
cool. I get it. You should still jump in, but I could give them that You know what I'm saying? But, like, management, come on.
Yeah, I mean, one thing when I was working in restaurants, mind you, it wasn't McDonald's or nothing like that, but my managers used to be like, you don't get paid to deal with people yelling at you. If it gets to that point, you get a manager. Yeah. And I strongly believe it. No one's going to yell at me.
Yeah.
I'm going to step away. Like, I'll have a manager come right over. Well, and I'm out. Do that.
Right. My thing is, it's like, you should feel safe at work. Mm-hmm. If nowhere else, you should feel like it's a community of my coworkers. Because if it happened to my coworker, I would jump in. You feel me? So it's like,
right.
I should feel like if something's going to happen to me, y'all have my back the same way I would have yours. And that's just like a basic principle.
I think especially when we're thinking about the fast food industry, right?
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of black and brown people work there. A lot of people who might not have, you know, loads of income. These are major corporations, and I think we all know that they don't really give a fuck about their workers, being mm-hmm. the fact that some of them are still getting paid minimum wage. Mm-hmm. So, like, fuck it. Like, what to them, I'm sure they're like, well, you know, we got a lawyer. This will all go away. This doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. If she quits, she quits. Fuck it. We'll right. hire right. another
That's
one.
Why I'm hope
well,
she gets all the coins right. she's suing
for. We're not disposable. Like, black women aren't disposable. Fast food workers aren't disposable. Service workers aren't disposable. And people don't get to just treat them any kind of way. He would have never treated somebody like a he would have never treated somebody who he wouldn't have walked into the damn White House doing that if they said I'm sorry there are no straws
right. exactly.
if he went to the White House cafeteria. I swear to God he wouldn't have done that
right.
So it was just like
Right. Yeah, so that's really what I kind of want to talk about. There were some other things I wanted to mention. But it's just this whole, like, narrative. It's just this question of, like, who will protect black women. So this past weekend, and this is not in white history. This is in the whites are real quiet about this history right now. But this past weekend, they finished up the 6-part docuseries Surviving R. Kelly, which basically details the stories of... so many women who were somehow either dating R. Kelly
or being abused.
Being abused by R. Kelly. Right. Even his wife, both of his brothers are in the documentary. And it's baffling because literally this entire time, I feel like everyone knows that R. Kelly is a rapist.
Right.
And I was just saying, R. Kelly never got any of my dollars, never in my life.
Right.
I personally don't think he's that damn good, and especially not good enough to be fucking raping women and, like, chasing after young-ass girls.
Right.
And so, like, the whole thing is, like, all these women have come forward. There's been all these settlements. Yet... they can't get a video of him actually.
Well, they did.
Apparently, he's under investigation. I just read it. Like,
yeah. In Georgia, yeah.
I mean, okay. I feel like... So a lot of the documentary spoke about him being this musical genius, and I can get that he is a musical genius. I'm not trying to discredit that. I understand that. There's... as far as, like, maybe his vocals go, I think that people are more so connected to the experience you've had with his music. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily him as a person,
right.
but more so where you were when certain songs were coming on. And, like, it's usually at, like, family functions, your friends getting together, all this shit. So it's connected to, like, these memories, right?
Right.
Because I canceled R. Kelly a long time ago and felt no kind of way about it.
Zero.
Why? I didn't need to see the video and all that. I didn't need all that.
Yeah.
R. Kelly is out here saying, I'm untouchable.
He's singing songs detailing his horrible...
like, and they can't do nothing.
They're detailing everything horrible that he's ever done. Like,
yeah.
It's not... the problem is... this, I think now we see, and I mean, people who know, right? Like, us three, we're not new to this shit. Like, no. We're not new to this shit. But a lot of people are new to this shit. And that's what's really, it's scary. But also, not only are they new to this shit, I think not only are they new to realizing the monster that R. Kelly is, they're also probably really new to realizing who's really in power here and who's really got the keys.
And who's important.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if it was little white girls...
We all know what that
right.
is. And we they still looking for that white girl. What that?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You right.
Yes.
And so, and so then that brings me to people who are like, people like Chance, who really fucked up, especially being from Chicago. Chance, you knew. You knew for your whole life, Chance.
Yeah.
But everybody fucks up. Like, it's no different than those girls who are like, I just want to be do really good. I just want to be, like, famous. Maybe if I'll do this, I'll be famous. Like, I can understand that feeling. And he at least says, yo, I fucked up. I made a mistake. Then he addressed, like, the bigger problem of how we discredit black female victims. So this whole argument that's been all over social media of, like, how these young girls were fast, like, why are we not placing the burden of understanding on adults?
Right.
And where are we learning these behaviors?
Here's the thing. We're not even talking about adults who are, like, 18, 19. We're talking about adults who are, like, late 20s.
Yes.
You feel me? I can even say... Right. So I can say, you can say, all right, well, you know, if he was 18 and she was 13, maybe they were still in high school.
No, but some of them were in high school. Some of them were young.
And I'm saying, like, if he was in high school, I would even understand that, because you're an adult, but you're in high school. Right. All right, cool. But nah, you were cruising by in your late 20s and plucking out little high school girls.
Right.
And you should know better.
You should definitely know better.
And the people around you knew better, but didn't do anything.
And have the nerve to fiend, like, I feel so bad.
Right. I put her in that position. Yeah, you did. You should feel bad.
I think it's just, I think what's really important is, like, understanding, like, what people will do for fame.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, and for money, obviously. I mean, I don't know what it's like to want to be on so bad that I would risk my daughter's life, especially. But a lot of people just kind of, it's, I don't know if it's a psychological thing with humans, but I think that it is, that a lot of us, if it doesn't pertain directly to us, then it doesn't, it's not, almost like it doesn't exist, aka things that we see on the street that people walk past every day, like with your own eyes. You literally just saw somebody get harassed in front of your face and you didn't do anything, or climate change, when we know something's up and everyone's still having a conversation like, well, it's raining in the middle, like, you know, like like everything's so surprising until it's literally smack dab in your face happening to you. And that's not how we should go about it. That's not how change happens. Like, that's how nothing nothing gets changed that way. And especially with black women, on where, like, our bodies are literally in out there being used and abused like that, it's really disturbing to know that no one is, and I don't expect anyone to protect black women except a black woman.
Right.
That's just really what it is.
Yeah.
What an unfortunate situation. Because that's something I'm always like, we got, you know. And even seeing, like, black women perpetuating this idea that a child
should know better,
knows better than an adult. And I don't know about y'all, but, like, I got, my mom called me fast all the time.
Yeah, facts.
It's like, I can't help if boys like me. These niggas are fucking predators. I'm a baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just living my life. I'm living the life of a fucking 12-year-old. Like,
well, yeah, I wasn't fast at 12.
I wasn't fast.
I was fast when I was at 12.
I wasn't fast ever. I just,
yeah, I mean,
boys just liked me. That, like, because boys follow me around, it's not my fault.
Right.
Like, you know?
It's, and I think it's a question like, is it your child being fast, or is it puberty happening and people noticing and being really right. creepy about
right.
it
Thank you.
And predators and preying like predators do?
I'm not gonna lie, legit, it just hit me maybe a couple years ago that this one dude, like, me and my friends used to walk home from school in middle school, so mm-hmm. we were like, what, 13?
Yeah.
And we would stop by this CD spot, and this guy always had this thing for my friend, and like every time I saw him, he would ask about her, how's she doing. We were like 13, and this is a grown man, and now I'm thinking like, yo, he was super inappropriate.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no,
he
yeah.
was super inappropriate.
But you of course didn't realize that, right. Then you're just like, oh, he likes my friend.
And he was like
friend.
Giving free CDs, and we liked free CDs
of
and
course
stuff like that. So like we would take free CDs, but then it's like, hold on. Now it's hitting me like, yo, like, adults used to be super inappropriate.
Super inappropriate. I remember one time I wanted, like, I found, like, this is, like, I had this new fascination about the fact that I had a big-ass mouth. Mm-hmm. And I would, like, just be putting my fist in my mouth, like, oh, I could put my fist in my mouth. I remember my dad, like, slapped the shit out of my hand because I was around his friends. He was like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's disgusting. That's gross. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm just putting my fist in my mouth, right? But, like, they... It's never the children's fault.
You weren't being sexual about it. Yeah,
I wasn't.
It's like the adults that are making it something, and it's yeah. really, it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
Because nobody stands up for these girls.
Mm-hmm.
Or just acknowledges, the problem is that, especially with black women, when we're 13, we're 16. When we're 16, mm-hmm. we're 25. Like, you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
They age us.
They do.
What? How we develop, ooh, breasts and
I'm
whatever.
Still
like,
waiting to develop TBH.
You know?
I'm just...
And that's crazy, but like, people age us because they sexualize us.
They sexualize and that's everything. Just,
and that's yeah. really the truth of it all. And they let people, but also men are fucking creepy. Like, men are fucking creepy.
Right, and we don't call out the men.
Yeah, they're
creepy.
We
always, and it's like, yes, stand up for the girls, but also call out the men.
There's been times when I'm like...
Or women, whatever. Like, yeah. call out the abuser. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, call
if
them
you're
out.
An abuser, you're an abuser.
You're a, right. And it doesn't take... Like, there's been times when I found somebody really attractive, right? And they'd be like, oh, they're 18. I'm like, oh, shit, they're 18? Like, that's crazy. Done. We're done.
Attraction. Yeah. Like, finito.
It's over. Like,
that,
it's not like, oh,
it really is that easy, exactly. though, because yeah. I'm not attracted to children.
Right.
I'm not attracted to 25-year-olds.
Right.
So, and I'm only 30. Right. So, like, I'm not attracted to 25-year-olds. 18, teen, anything, yeah. absolutely not. But I might see you and be like, you're fine. And yeah. then as soon as I know how old you are, it's over.
But it speaks to your mental capacity, too. Because there's a reason why someone who's in their 40s or 30s is going after someone who's young. Because they can't pull the shit that they would pull with someone who's of age and who would know better. So they have to prey on somebody who doesn't know any better.
I mean, obviously, since the documentary, there's been a laundry list of names mm-hmm. of celebrities who have kind of participated in behaviors like this,
yeah.
even including Prince.
Well,
who was 37 and his wife was 22.
Mm-hmm.
And they got married. He met her when she was 16.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
Kept Marvin her Gaye. Around, docked her pay for gaining weight. Wow. Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the Jay-Z and Beyonce thing was fucking even weird, too, because before Beyonce even came into the picture, Aaliyah was there.
Exactly.
And him and Dame Dash are real close. And for him to do that whole fucking album with Dame Dash and, like, your best, well, your close friend or whatever, your business partner's girlfriend literally was abused by this dude, and you're gonna do an album anyway.
Like, and then who else? Jay-Z yeah. took someone's virginity?
I'm sure he did.
He was when they were 15. I think it was Foxy Brown, maybe.
Sure he did. I wouldn't even. Like,
yeah,
it's just it's been a laundry list of names, and really, I just want to know who is gonna protect black women.
Me.
Shit. Same.
We all have to. It's like we all have to.
We all we got.
We all we got.
But and what does that look like?
Right.
What does it look like to protect black women? Like. You know, I know what I'm willing to do. I know I'm willing to put my body in the line. I'm willing mm-hmm. to get my ass beat. I'm willing to beat some ass, like, you know, and all especially right. for the ones that I love for real. I'm even willing to kill and I'm ready to die. Like, I know that about me. Mm-hmm. But there's been so many times where it's not necessarily, it doesn't really seem, it seems like I shouldn't feel like in the middle of Herald Square, I'm the only one who gives a fuck about a black woman
right.
yeah.
when somebody is getting attacked or something like yeah. that, you know?
I got attacked down by Wall Street, 7 years ago, something like that. Everybody what? Stood around. I was saying, this guy is trying to rob, he's tussling, tossing me around the street, holding my bag, ripped my bag in half. He's tossing me around the street, and everybody's just standing around. He's 6 foot, like, 3 or 4. I'm 5 feet tall.
Right.
So you can see the disparity right there. Tossing me around. He starts saying, oh, she's trying to rob me.
Oh. He was white. Funny. Was nah, he white? No. Oh, I was about to say.
Whoa. But nobody did anything. Like, it took until this one white dude came in and was like, oh, I think she's really being robbed, and like tried to separate us. And like, then it became a scene. Everybody had their phones out.
Wow.
But it's like nobody was doing nothing. And yeah. I'm talking about Wall Street, down by Wall Street, right by the wow. bull.
Yeah.
Nothing.
There's like cops everywhere around minutes, there.
Nothing.
And what are cops?
Right. It took like it yo. What and it cops? Took a while for cops to come to yeah. come around, cut that corner. And then he ran out. I mean, he ended up getting caught and whatever, but like to be getting swung around like that and yeah. nobody doing anything.
Anything.
In New York City, y'all. It ain't yeah. as liberal as you think.
And yeah. I already know about the bystander effect. So I was literally saying, hey, you with the hat, can you help me? Hey, in the glasses, he's robbing me. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Not a lot nobody. Of people, but also, I mean, especially white people, like, they only fight for their country. That's it. That's my own fight for child. Nothing else.
And that is another conversation. Yes. We're not giving white people no more time.
Right.
This episode of Black Friends Dinner is sponsored by Kasvari Made It. Black owned, women owned, handmade greeting cards, books, enamel pens, and mugs straight to your door. Find them at Kasvari Made It on Instagram and at KasvariMadeIt.com. All right, we're back. We just had some crock pot veggie pot pie.
Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. good. It was almost like a deconstructed pot pie. I yeah, loved it. Yeah,
that's very true.
And it like hit sticking to my ribs, which it's is good. Very important for pot pie.
Mm-hmm.
Pot pie, not Popeye.
Popeye. When you said pot pie, I was like, yeah, you right. Like, I went with it.
Pot pie.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're full. We're feeling good. Obviously, it's time to get down to the entree of our discussion. Today's episode is called Black Boy Fly. And we're going to just, you know, talk about what it means to be masculine of center when you grow up in a quote unquote female body. The now great strides are being made not only to think outside the binary, but live outside the binary. It can still be complicated to navigate the messy spaces of beliefs in that the binary have created. From unlearning toxic masculinity to finding strength in femininity, things are being bounced around and turned upside down. So obviously I want to talk a little bit about what that means and how we navigate all that mess. I thought, who better to have, like, some of my hottest Mask of Center friends? No. It's too bad it's a podcast for y'all. So right. First, let's start with pronouns. What's everyone's pronouns?
She, her, daddy.
Hey. They, bruh, fam.
Right. And so,
I like fam.
Yeah. I like fam, too.
I like that.
Why do you... How did you come about choosing, like, which pronouns you want to identify? Did you choose it?
I didn't even, you know, a few years back, I didn't really truly even understand what pronouns were. But I always knew that I never liked being called little girl or ma'am, miss, lady, mm-hmm. none of that. And I, as I grew into my identity and understanding like who I really was as a person. And gender really never was something that really stuck to me. So I'm gender nonconforming or gender never conforming. And so it's super important for me to kind of be able to constantly define who I am every moment of every day. So I don't want anybody to call, like, I don't want any pronouns. So, bruh, fam, that's where I, like, that's it for me. Like, but if people must, then they, right?
Yeah.
I dig it. I mean, for me, I don't have, I do, it's weird because I do feel kind of funny when people refer to me as miss or ma'am.
Same.
But I do use female pronouns. So it's, but it's still a little weird. It's like, oh, I'm not really attached to the ma'am part. It's kind of weird for me. But I still use she, her because I'm not uncomfortable with like identifying as female.
A woman. Yeah. I still identify as a woman, even though I identify as like a gender non-binary woman or like a non-binary femme. So I don't mind identifying as a woman, and a lot of my life experience, like I'm perceived as a woman, and there's not really a lot of things I can do to change that for other people. So like I do experience the world as a woman. And but also like, you know, I have my days where I don't present as a woman. And so, as far as, like, presenting as masculine, like, and talking about being mask of center, what does that mean to be mask of center?
Well, you want to?
Go ahead, you go ahead.
All right, so, well, for me, I don't. It, to me, it means what everyone else, what it means to everyone else. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm mask of center because that's what other people see in me.
That goes perfectly into my next question. So let's keep it rolling.
Nice.
What about you?
I mean, for me, in a sense, masculinity is a rejection of femininity to a degree. In the sense that I, in that non-conformative, I don't want to wear dresses, I'm not going to. Right. I don't care what I'm quote-unquote supposed to be okay with. I don't want to do that. And for me, it's not just presenting, but like you said, how people perceive you. And just kind of owning that and saying, okay, well, how you perceive me is, in fact, who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to a degree.
To a degree. Yeah.
So what do you find that, what do you find that people like perceive masculinity as far as you're concerned, like the way you walk around in your life? What do you get that people think masculinity is?
Well, you know, I think it depends what on what I'm wearing. For instance, if, you know, if it's the winter time and I'm layered up with my boots and my whatever, then I probably am the type of person who has a lot of hoes, quote unquote. Oh. I'm the type of person who...
Oh, they say you got a lot of hoes?
That's what they say.
Interesting.
Especially cis men, when they walk up to me, especially when cis men walk up to me, it's like, oh, where the hoes at? Like... First off, hi. You know what I'm saying? So there's that. Or like, I might be somebody who, you know, might be a fuck boy. I might be somebody who might be a player. I might be somebody, depending on how I look. But
basically, they're saying you get a lot of women, is what they say.
I'm literally...
That's the most comments you get.
I think for me, it's also like this persona that is expected of you, where you're supposed to be like this protector and this person who's the strong one, who's not supposed to cry, who's not supposed to have emotions, who's not supposed to, because you're supposed to take on this quote unquote man role, right? And it's like, okay, hold on. let's pause that.
In case you didn't hear that, men don't cry.
Right. It's like, come on. Like, let's get real. At the end of the day, I own being a woman, and mass presenting doesn't mean a lack of feelings or emotions, because again, men have that too. And I think people attach masculinity with men, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or femininity with women,
right?
And it's like, yo, we're all of that mixed up. And yes, why do you have to? We get so caught up on labeling shit and expecting certain things,
and also dealing with patriarchy and what masculinity means to society that we're in, and like, you know, having to deal with having, you know, being the type of person to who might be promiscuous, or being the type of person who might talk a certain way, like, and I think most masculine centered folks could say, like, when they speak, if they have a feminine voice, it's, people are like, gasp, like, right, you know what I'm saying, right, they're not expecting for us to sound a particular way, or, you know, so like, it's expectations of how to present ourselves, because everyone puts this mask on us automatically.
Yes. So important. When we're learning what masculinity is, especially like in the LGBT community, a lot of lesbians, as you said earlier, Elle, masculinity for a lot of female bodied people is more about rejecting kind of like this societal standard of femininity. But a lot of us, in rejecting that, sometimes pick up these, like, where we learn masculinity from can really, like, shape the kind of masculine person that we become. So how do you see that in your life? Where did you learn masculinity from initially? Have those thoughts evolved? Kind of what's your journey with learning masculinity, unlearning toxic masculinity, you know? What does that look like for you?
I've always been masculine ever since I was a child. My mom, when I was really young, was dating my sister's father. I was had to be like maybe three, and he would dress me in boy clothes because that's what I wanted. Like, he was the only man in my life at a very young age who'd be like, nah, like, let them wear whatever they want. Right. And so I would always want, I remember growing up and wanting, like, in my head, idolizing him, wanting to be just like him, walking around in his Tim boots and like all of that. Like, so I don't know a moment where I wasn't masculine. I just know a moment when people were trying to push femininity on me. That's what I remember. I don't remember anything like just constantly rejecting and pushing back and like trying to always redefine what I was to people. Like, no, but I don't want to wear pink. I don't want to be the Pink Ranger. I don't want to wear the skirt.
Yeah, you know? I don't want to be in a dress. I don't want to wear heels. Like, that's it's okay what I remember. For me to not do that.
And I learned it from, I feel like it's something that was always inherently in me. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when masculinity is inherently in people and people are realizing that maybe they had it and they're just figuring it out. Yeah. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I went through that.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that makes any sense, but like,
people that exactly. Yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up in a place where I was really allowed to be like.
Yeah. Because masculinity is in all of us.
I'm from the South. Like, there's no way I was going to live in my mom's house walking around in boy clothes. That shit just was never going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
And then also, I wasn't really that aware of my gender until I was like around someone who was hyper aware of their gender.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So that made me reimagine kind of. I'm like, wait, all these things I've been doing, I know I like want to kick myself for wearing heels for so long.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did I do that to myself?
I mean, for me, I feel like part of it had to do with like, wanting my mom to be okay. You know what I mean? Like, not even wanting acceptance, because she accepted me, but like just wanting her to be comfortable, and wanting her to be comfortable when I'm like around other people. So it's not like I'm just her gay child or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I remember even up until a few years ago, I would put on dresses like once time a year for this one cocktail party. For my mom, because it's something that made her feel good. But the whole night, I'm like, I am so uncomfortable. I have like cleavage out. I got my arms out, all this shit.
You do have nice cleavage.
And it's like, yo, I'm literally... It's one thing if I do it for myself and it's like, yo, I feel mad cute right now. Because there were times when I'd be like, oh, I want to put on whatever.
Yeah.
But like when you start doing it for someone else, then it becomes like this whole thing. And I had to reject that, you know?
Yeah.
So like, And that's even up until a few years ago.
Or choose to part from relationships. Like that's true, too. My father was, I remember my father was getting married, never got married in his whole life. It was his first time. And he was like, yeah, so are you coming to the wedding, right? I was like, yeah, I'll come to the wedding. He was like, you're going to put on a dress? I was like, absolutely not. And he's like, you're a part of the wedding. I was like, well, guess what? I'm not coming. And I just did not go. Right. And I still haven't met my father's wife. Like, and I won't. If, right. Like, if that's what it takes,
what's required.
Then fuck it. Fuck it all. Yeah. Like, you know, and like having to decide between the autonomy of your body and what you feel is right for yourself and like what everybody else wants you to be. Right. It's more than just gay. Like my mom was like, I remember when I told my mother I was gay, she's like, I don't give a damn. You ain't gonna be walking around in boy clothes though. Like it wasn't
exactly.
It's completely separate.
It's almost like there are good gays and there are bad gays, and you're gonna be a good gay or not.
That
gonna
is
be
a bad such an interesting conversation. Yeah. I've been seeing it a lot, and some people have been mentioning it to me that they have people in their circle who are accepting of gay people but not accepting of trans people.
Right.
You know, I remember right. I told my mom I stopped wearing dresses, and I only recently stopped wearing dresses. Like one day I put on a dress and I felt fucking horrible. Mm-hmm. And I'm all about my clothes. Mm-hmm. Right. So if I don't fucking feel good in something, I'm not gonna wear it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
My mom was trying to give me a dress, and I was like, oh, I don't wear dresses anymore. She was like, why not? I was like, because I don't want to. They don't make me feel good to wear them.
I remember my mom said, like, yeah, you should have at least one. You should have at least one good black dress. And I was like, do I really need one good? I don't. I really don't need a good black dress. Like, I'm okay.
I'll wear it when I'm in hell burning with my sins.
Right. Yes. Party. Even still, I probably won't wear it. Like,
the dress can burn.
Right. Come on.
But, yeah, no.
So, looking at, do we, in, like, learning masculinity, did you ever find yourself picking up, like, toxic traits of that?
Yeah, for sure. My stepdad was a very, I guess I'll say stepdad. He was a very interesting person, so I took up all his shit, you know? Mm. You know, and he was really abusive to my mother, and, like, you know, he wasn't in my life for long, but it's imprinted in my mind. And also where I learned a lot of masculine traits from, like, even, I remember learning from, I grew up in Atlanta, so it was, a really big lesbian community, and I was like fathered by a whole bunch of older OG dykes, like, you know what I'm saying, and little small stuff like, oh, you ain't gonna let her touch your titties, are you, blah blah blah, like, well, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, real stupid Ooh. shit, like, don't do this, I remember the first time I was asking my OG, like, what to do when it was my first time having sex. Mm-hmm. And they're like, don't take your clothes off. I'm like, okay. And so I didn't take my clothes off. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Just kept my boxes on, kept my joint on, like, kept everything on, didn't take anything off. And, like, that was my first experience, because that was what they grew up
with. I'm sitting here Pikachu face, y'all.
Yo, for real.
Like,
it's real. So,
No, that's very true. I mean, I've dated a lot of masculine people who are like, one of my ex-girlfriends literally said to me, but I'm the man in this relationship. And I was like,
no way.
If you're the man, then why did you have to say it? Like, first of all, clearly I'm the man. But also, how stupid is that? That's, bitch, we're gay.
I feel like that's what...
There is no man.
Who's the... I remember my brother used to ask that, like, so you the man? Like, no. You know what
I'm
saying?
I'm better than that.
I feel like... Deadass. I feel like from... To me, it comes back to, like, my masculinity is almost a presentation, right? So it's masculine presenting, right? So it's like I present masculine, but I'm not terribly masculine. You know what I mean? I still like my door open. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or that chivalrous, here's what men do, here's what women do. Like, fuck all that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I remember I had this one ex-girlfriend who was like, oh, you're not manly enough for me. Like, you're not masculine enough. You're too sensitive.
You need to get one.
And I'm just like, yo, yeah, like, I'm not, I can't be that man for you, because I am not that. And I never said I was.
Yeah, I said I was.
I personally used to refer to myself as a dyke in a dress.
You did.
I definitely fall more on the, like, as far as quote unquote societal norms, I'm probably always gonna fall more to like the male side. Yeah. I love like being a gentleman. I just think that shit is like really cool. And yeah. I love treating ladies nice.
Yeah. Like it's, I mean, yeah.
I like you. That. So like I always fall to that side. I love Sean. Sometimes when we're walking, I'll take Sean's arm and we'll walk down the street. It's one of my favorites. I like to open the door.
I just learned all that nice shit.
For me, yeah. I like both. Like, I like having my hand grabbed. I like grabbing hands, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I like being grabbed. I like grabbing. That's like, right. For me, it's both. Whatever you're expecting, I expect it to.
You better preach the word.
I think as an adult, now I can say that yes.
Yeah.
I do those things and I do it proudly. You know what I'm saying? There's lots of things that are new in my life, like just sexually, things that I'm mm-hmm. exploring about myself sexually as far as and mentally and emotionally as far as masculine and feminine balance. Mm-hmm. But I will say that the toxic part was so deep just at mm-hmm. in like childhood and early teenage mm-hmm. That none of that was happening. There was none of that happening. Wow. Like I wasn't treating women well at all. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that. And there had to be a point where I had to go back and actually seek out women that I was truly horrible to and apologize for them and try to reconcile because that's how bad it was. And I was the good one out of all of my groups. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but there are times when people are like, yo, Joe, you can't do that. That's fucked up. And I'm like, man, fuck that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's it. And I think it's important. Like, I understand that as masculine, for all the young dykes out there listening, as masculine people or people who have that type of energy about them, you have to have balance and you have to obviously know that through you trying to search and find yourself, you can't be this walking freaking demolition ball through femmes. You know
what
I'm saying?
That's not masculinity, by the way.
That's
just being a shitty person.
But
that's how they box it, though. They box it and sell it as masculinity.
I think it can be masculinity.
Oh, definitely.
But it's masculinity doesn't get checked. It doesn't get policed like femininity does. You know, it only gets policed if you're not being masculine enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't, if you're super hyper masculine, no one's like, hey, man, calm down.
Yeah.
they just want to be more like you.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, and it's not, you're right. In the end, it's not masculinity. Right. It's white supremacy and colonialism. Like, in the end game, that's what it is.
At the top of the chain.
But, masculine folks have it. And when you think about, like, it's just really important to have that balance. And now that I see what the balance has done for me as someone who's like broke it down, I'm like, wow, like now I can cry and feel and be and breathe when I see people like you and like you guys who have that balance. Like, it's so important. It's healthy. You know what I'm saying? And shit, just on sexual relationships alone, if you don't have your balance, I don't know how people having sex, because that shit's gotta be whack.
I straight up had to make a decision that I wasn't gonna date any girls who said I could not fuck them.
Right.
It's like you were saying, Elle, if what you expect, I expect. If we can't come to terms in that way, I'm like, I can't be dating someone who's putting up this facade even when we're fucking.
Right.
What? Absolutely like, not.
When
like,
there's nobody here.
Hello. Like,
you're in vulnerability hour, right?
Yeah.
Or 15.
So, just like in our conversation, it's been great to talk about like evolution and something about gender in the past, even just 5 years, has evolved so much. I mean, the language has just made leaps and bounds. 5 years ago, I don't even think I ever heard of a non-binary person.
Mm-hmm.
2013, nah, never heard of that.
Right.
2018, I am a non-binary person. And also, we're taking back words like dyke. And there's like all these new words to categorize ourselves and our genders and our sexuality. So, I first want to talk about the word dyke.
Yeah, man. That's a touchy joint for a lot of people, right?
Not for me. Because for me, I mean, I own it. You know what I mean? I own it. Like, I took that word. That is me. I may not be your stereotypical, but I claim it, and I am that. And I'm unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
I think people have all these negative connotations, but I own it. You know, not the negative part, but I'm here to show you that, like, it's all encompassing. Like, you don't have to just see the negative. There's so much more to it.
Yeah,
when you label a person.
Yeah, a little history on the word dyke. The term bull dyker preceded dyke in print, appearing in the Harlem Renaissance novels in the 1920s. And it was first seen in this Jamaican author, Claude McKay, who was rumored to be bisexual. He first started using the term bull dyker. From the context of the novel, the word was considered crude and pejorative at the time, and it's probably related to the 19th century slang of the use dyke, ditch, which meant pussy, basically, and bull being used in the sense of masculine or aggressive. It kind of implied someone who's a massive cunt. That's what dyke meant. And so I think I've done the same thing as you. I've even called myself a dyke in a dress. I even made it all nice and pretty. And, like, I'm very happy to be that all day. I'll take your bitch. But, you know.
I think it also depends on the context that the word is said into and who says it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because and then even how you respond, that's a choice, too. You know, so it really depends. But for me, I don't get offended by it, and I own it, and I take that. And I don't take none of that negative shit.
Language changes so much now, because, like, now when you think of a lot of people, when you think about dyke, you think of masculine folks. When, you know, maybe 10 years ago, it was anyone who was a lesbian. Wow, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or, like, that's anybody true. Who... But so now it's, like, masculine-specific folks, and now to me, dyke means not just lesbians, anyone who is masculine who might socially be presenting as a lesbian. So, for instance, me as a non-binary person, I call myself a dyke, and I have probably about 12 DMs in each social platform about why I call myself a dyke if I'm not a lesbian, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's a big trigger for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, if I'm not a dyke, tell my mom that. Like, well, if I'm not a dyke, tell the world that. Like, that has nothing to do with me. I call myself a dyke because that's what you saw before you even came into my shit. Like, that's what you see in me. You see that I'm a dyke, not I'm the other way around. I'd rather like just be myself and be a Joe, but you rather see me as a black dyke, and that's what it is.
So. Also, they be like, lesbians don't be letting people into the club like
they
that.
Don't. They be acting like they let everyone in.
But they also act like everyone takes from them, which I think is really fucking interesting. I'm like, because they take a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, very interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I'm like, y'all don't be let, lesbians do not let people in the club like that. No. Y'all be like, actually, here's A, B, and C reason why you cannot be a lesbian.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much pussy you eat.
Right.
Like, like even, for instance, I remember once they tried to drag me on Twitter because of my faux locks. They're like, oh, but then she's the only dyke that gets to wear faux locks. And it's like, yo, why is it that there are all these rules? Like, and who set who made these rules up and who says that? It's like this one person I follow on Instagram, and it's like, she had called herself a dyke once, and then she was wearing, like, all this makeup and wigs and weaves and dresses, and people were like, yo, we're so confused. And it's like, why are you so confused? Why are you minding her? Like, why are you all in it like that, that you gotta be offended or feel some type of way?
It doesn't meet what they... That's what I'm saying. That's why it's what they think it is. Like, everything that you are is what other people want you to be, and it's not right. But it is, like, and I accept that, and I'm just a mirror, really, to what you see. And so I'm just like, every time I just challenge it all the time. Like, yes, I'm not even fucking a lesbian, and I would never even date a lesbian my whole entire fucking life. However, here I am calling myself a dyke. Now what you gonna say?
Boop.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So I wanna ask you, Elle, like, as language changes, as a creative, what do you think about, like, the importance of normalizing these kinds of, like, gender expressions, and how important do you think it is, since like you're creating queer content because you're queer, mm-hmm. so like, how important is it that all these new things that we're adding, all these new words and like all these new labels and categorizations, how important is it that we normalize that?
I think what we really need to normalize is respect. Ooh. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. It doesn't have to, yeah, all the labels and all the, you know, you tell me what you want to be called and all that, but it comes down to respect.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's important that we create more spaces and normalize respect and acceptance of like, not just brown folks, but like people just within brown folks within our, these are folks in our community.
Right.
It's not like these are just, they're brown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we shouldn't be finding reasons to exclude us. We need us. We are mm-hmm. all we have.
Yes.
It's like, why are we finding, why shouldn't we normalize it? Why shouldn't we see our faces on the big screen, on the mm-hmm. billboards, on everywhere? Because we exist and we are, I mean, it's not even normal. Like, we are the norm. It is what it is. We're here. Mm. Yeah, you feel me? But we're not used to respecting each other.
Mm.
So
I think both things are like respect and, you know, the respect and love of all humanity, I think, is really important. Like, but people don't really see humanity in people like us.
Mm.
Just number one, black, and then whatever falls under the umbrella after that. But also, I really, you know, like, labels are super important because that creates visibility, right?
Yes.
So, like,
yeah.
I know, like, I would have probably, if gender nonconforming wasn't a thing, if non-binary wasn't a thing, I probably would have stayed in the lesbian category.
Same.
And that would have been really harmful for me because I'm not one, like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really, even now, like, looking back with what I've learned about myself, I'm like, wow, like, I'm actually really, no wonder none of that made sense to me as a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I can say the same, like, worse, like, I would have identified as something completely other than what
right.
I am now. And worse as in, like, it wouldn't have been true and authentic to me.
You know
what I'm saying? And so sometimes you need new language. Language
and
is
it
important.
Creates communities. It's
exactly.
what it is. It creates communities and it creates support. And it creates like, oh, you're that? Oh, you know what? I think I'm that too.
Right.
Let's talk about it. Let's break down some shit. Like,
absolutely.
let's hold space for each other. Let's build each other up.
Speaking of community, Joe, you hold a lot of space for Masca Center folks. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of what you have coming up in 2019.
Okay, yeah, cool. So Black Boy Complex is a safe space catered to the love and vulnerability of masculine-centered LGBTQAI folks. And it's super, like, really amazing. We just recently had an event, Complex Conversations, where about, like, 25 to 30 of us just, like, sat down in a room and just talked about maybe 3 or 4 topics for about 2 hours and shared our thoughts, how we felt. Some of the topics were, you know, like, what are some ways in which we like to be loved, and, like, everybody shared a little bit of something, and we kind of bounce ideas off of each other, or how are we holding queer and LGBTQ celebrities accountable as they go out into the world and kind of align themselves with harmful people and say harmful things, like, you know, or pretend that they're activists when we know that they're not, right? So, like, how do we do that? Or just even ourselves. It doesn't even have to be celebrities. So there's a few things that, you know, that masculine center folks really need to have conversations about and talk to each other, really.
Yeah.
So we also have a group chat.
That community is super important.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Having that space is
absolutely
really
because masculine folks, we, you know, a lot of times we don't really talk much about things that, and we do, but like maybe like close friends, but then like really as far as shifting, the shift doesn't really happen because it kind of stays very circular within the same moment, within the same spaces. So I'm just trying to broaden those conversations just to say, like, hey, like, we're all on the same boat. And like, hey, some of us have a problem with intimacy and hey, you know, whatever. Right. So there's a few things happening. There will be a few more complex conversations within the year. So that's happening. And hopefully looking to collaborate with a whole bunch of dope people.
Same, same, same.
Yeah, that's what's happening in 2019. I was just, you know, blackboycomplex.com is like a great place to go to kind of keep abreast of what's going on.
All right, so this is my personal favorite part of the show, white wine. A She Mad moment in white current events where white people are caught once again hating, whiting, calling the cops on us for breathing or just straight up giving a nigga a hard time. What white person made you maddest? What white surprised you? And what white didn't? What did y'all bring this time?
Well, I would probably say my white wine would be recently. I had a dog. I'm kind of fostering a dog. Mm-hmm. Went to CVS to go get some medication. It wasn't even really a big deal. It wasn't even a big deal. Went to CVS, get some medication. I tied the dog up outside, right? And just chilling. I thought he'd be fine. Went, grabbed the medication, picked up a few more things, like maybe two more things. Did shelf checkout. I'm at the register and I hear, will the person with a tan dog please come to the customer service, right? I'm like, what the hell? So I go to customer service. I was like, what's the problem? And the clerk is like, some lady is out there saying that you left your dog out for an hour. I'm like, well, that's not true because I was here for 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they didn't believe me. They're like, oh, we're going to go check the cameras. I was like, okay, check the cameras. I don't care, right? And so I go and forgot one thing. So I grab one more thing, go to self-checkout. Then they come up to me and say, hey, we just so you know, the lady is calling the cops on you right now. But we checked the cameras and you're right. I was like, I know I'm right. Right. I know I said what I said, right? So I go out and I, you know, I'm done shopping and I go get the dog. And this white lady's like, you need to stay right there. You need to stay right there because I called the cops on you. And I turn around, it's like this old white lady. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong? I'm turning around, I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, do you really have nothing to do? She's like, this is my community and no dog should be standing out here in the cold for any amount of time. I'm like, okay. So, you know, I just told her to fuck off and mind her fucking business.
Yeah, white bitch.
Right. And, you know, I was going to fight her because she was like, yeah, like really, really fucking old. So if she were younger, I would have definitely got her to face.
Yeah, get the hands.
Yeah, right. But I walked off and, but that was my white wine story.
They care about dogs more than they care about black lives.
Oh, yeah, you already know.
Oh, yeah, I already
know.
Unless
it's a black lab, that's it.
Right.
That's all we get. Yeah,
nah. Well, what did you bring for us this week?
So, unfortunately, my neighborhood is gentrifying like crazy.
This is Flatbush, Brooklyn, y'all. I can't believe it.
And it is crazy. So, what's happening is they're buying out the houses on the blocks because they're paying almost twice what they're worth and they're coming cash ready to buy you out. They're gutting the houses, tossing them down, and throwing up apartment buildings, like squeezing apartment buildings. There's no parking anywhere already as is, so I'm already tight about that. But that is besides the point. With that happening, there's an influx of white people in the neighborhood that I'm not used to seeing. So it's still, to me, it still catches me off guard when I see someone, but whatever. I don't pay it much mind. Mind my business, keep it moving. This guy walks his dog in front of my house, and the dog poops, and he does not pick it up. Mm. And I'm like, first of all, you know, if this was not this neighborhood, you would easily catch a fine.
Right.
They would have signs all over the place and be ready to give somebody a ticket. But because you're coming into this neighborhood and you feel like it is less than or whatever the case may be, now you have no respect for the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yo, come on. Like, and I know it sounds really petty.
It doesn't.
But like, I remember when I had my dog in the neighborhood and I would walk my dog and there was this one lady on the corner, another black lady. And like, the moment I would cut the corner, she'd be like, you know, I got cameras out there. And it's like,
that's right. Keep your block clean, black lady.
And I'm like, I respect that. You know what I'm saying? But I've never disrespected anybody's area. Right. So it's like, now we have an influx of these people who are being super disrespectful to the space. There's a little, you know, and it's just weird that nobody's checking them the way they would check me.
Right.
Mm.
And that's the shit I don't like. It's like, now I'm the bad guy standing up for myself in my neighborhood, and now I look like the clown that's like starting issues and shit. When it's like, nah. Like, fuck that.
Hashtag stop white people 2019. I want
20 ever.
20 forever. Any year. Stop white people. I want to thank my guests, Afronautic, yep, and Joe for joining me today. Where can we find y'all?
Oh,
go ahead. Going with the fro.com or at Afronautic on Instagram.
And you can find me at Complex Black Boy. That's boy with an I, and Black Boy Complex, boy with an I as well. All platforms, Facebook, Twitter, but other things, Instagram. Mm-hmm. And also check out blackboycomplex.com.
Nice.
Cool. Thank y'all.
Black's Friends Dinner is produced by myself, Nandi K, and Sean Dawson. Audio by Sean Dawson. Opening music by Leonidas.